My guest at this time is Pete Sepp. He's president of the National Taxpayers Union, the largest grassroots taxpayers organization in America. For more information on them, you can find it at ntu.org. And Pete, of course, is here to talk about the issue of tax reform. It's an issue that Donald Trump talked about a lot during the presidential campaign, and one that many Republicans on Capitol Hill are eager to tackle as well. And since they have the majority in both the House and Senate, the next couple of years, and perhaps even sooner than that, would be the time to strike. And Pete, thanks very much for being with us.
Always a pleasure.
Well, the last time you and I spoke about this, it was when Republicans had taken over the Senate. So then they controlled the House and the Senate, but of course not the White House. And there was a window of opportunity that obviously went by. What's your feeling now? Is this going to happen next year?
There is a window of opportunity. I think the president and Congress need to get on the same page as quickly as possible. That means holding staff-level meetings right now, even before the next Congress, to determine what differences they have and how they're going to move forward. It's important to remember that each chamber of Congress, as well as the White House, has its own tax reform plan. For sure, President-elect Trump's plan has a lot of similarities to the House Republicans' tax reform blueprint, but there are some key differences. Meanwhile, Senate Finance Committee Chairman Orrin Hatch has proposed a completely different proposal called corporate integration, which would deal with double taxation between businesses and individuals. So all of these elements have to figure out how they're going to move forward on a common plane. Otherwise, they're going to get bogged down in details, and they're not going to be able to secure the votes and move the process along the way they need to.
Pete, it's been a while now, but I remember nearly 16 years ago when George W. Bush first took office, that it was right away, perhaps even before he took office, that he had Phil Gramm and Zell Miller up there on Capitol Hill, a bipartisan effort to move forward his 2001 tax cut plan that was eventually passed, I believe, later in that spring. Is that the type of schedule this needs to be on?
Yes, absolutely. And believe me, Trump's election has, of course, changed the calculus. There is a lot better chance that something can get done, but people cannot afford to be complacent. After all, whatever plan gets made in the House has to have not only the agreement of the president, but a clear path forward in the Senate. Republicans will have, at best, 52 seats in the Senate. First, their caucus needs to be united. That assumes that there is no filibuster on the part of Democrats, or that Republicans use the so-called reconciliation process to get around the filibuster and get a tax reform plan through their chamber. All of those things need to be thought of right now.
Pete, you mentioned before that while there are a lot of similarities with what we know of the Trump plan and the House and Senate Republican plans, there are some important differences. What are those differences?
Well, first, very quickly, the similarities. The personal tax rates that would be established under the new House GOP plan mirror those of President-elect Trump's plan. We would go to three brackets, 12%, 25%, and 33%. On the other hand, the corporate tax rate would go to 20% under the House plan, under Trump's plan, 15%. Trump would sort of equalize investment tax rates with the new personal tax rates. The House would do something different there. There are also differences in repealing itemized deductions or limiting those deductions and how business expenses might be treated over the long term. So those kinds of differences have to be ironed out going forward.
You mentioned deductions, Pete, and one of the things that a lot of folks have wanted, in addition to perhaps lower or simpler tax rates, is simplification and getting rid of all the different loopholes, all the different exemptions, with perhaps the exception of a couple like mortgage interest and so forth. There's a lot of lobbyists on both sides of Capitol Hill in terms of the parties. How much progress can be made on that, do you think?
I think a lot of progress can be made, especially on the corporate side, because even business tax lobbyists are coming to realize that the current system has become so complex that all of the loopholes that they have to figure out and comply with every year, they just aren't worth the effort. And the fact is, They are distorting the tax system. And meanwhile, we cannot ignore the pressures that other countries are exerting on our tax system. The U.S. still has a corporate tax rate above 35% at the federal level. You add in state and local corporate taxes, it's 39%. That is a good 15 points higher than what our economic competitor countries have in their own confines. Meanwhile, the European Union and its tax enforcers are acting against U.S. multinational corporations in all kinds of ways. That Apple case that made the news, where their deal with Ireland was essentially overturned by the EU, that's just the first example. And so while Congress and the President may think that they are completely in control of the timetable for tax reform, that's not quite true. It's not as if other countries are standing still, either with their own tax systems or the way they enforce tax laws against our businesses.
We're talking with Pete Sepp. He's the president of the National Taxpayers Union. And Pete, a couple quick questions here on process. Do you expect, if we get to this point, one big bill covering a lot of things, or do you expect maybe one bill on corporate taxes, another bill on individual taxes, and perhaps something else on exemptions and loopholes and so forth?
The key issue to resolve as to whether they're going to do one or several bills is, how do you treat so-called pass-through entities, smaller businesses that tend to pay taxes on business income through the 1040 personal tax system? In other words, the business owner is declaring his or her profit on a 1040 and paying that way. If Congress can figure out a way to treat pass-throughs equally with larger businesses and lump that into a single bill on business taxes, they could proceed ahead on that track and then do a second individual tax bill. That might be a good way of dividing up the work. There seems to be more headway made on the business tax reform side so far, and that may be the bill that goes first.
Democrats insist that the Trump plan, certainly, and perhaps some of the Republican congressional plans as well, would really raise the deficits. We're already at $20 trillion in debt, so we certainly don't want much more. How accurate are those projections?
Well, there are some truths to those projections, and Republicans are going to have to be mindful of the long-term impact on deficits and figure out ways to reform the spending side of the ledger so that those shortfalls are kept under control. Donald Trump's tax plan, especially the initial one that he proposed, suffered from trillions of dollars of additional deficit spending. His revised plan, a little less so. The GOP plan, a little less so, even further on the House side. And so what they need to do is figure out some common ground on entitlement reform, especially. That was something that Donald Trump essentially took off the table, and that is an incredibly unwise move if we want to be honest with the American people and have fiscal reform on both sides of the ledger.
Can you really have spending restraints without touching entitlements?
No. Unfortunately, there, of course, are ways that you can reduce federal spending in defense and so-called discretionary programs. But there again, Donald Trump has said he wants to increase defense spending and boost infrastructure spending by upwards of $1 trillion. Those plans are going to have to be modified, and there's going to have to be consideration of entitlements. This is not going to be some era of prosperity for growing the federal government. It's going to have to be kept under control.
So, exit question is kind of back where we started, Pete. On a scale of 1 to 10, how optimistic are you that something substantial will be done in the next 6 to 9 months?
I would give it a 7. We have a very good chance. I would have given it more like a 3 or a 4 prior to this election. But again, the Republicans have got to get organized, and they've got to map out a plan to either include Democrats, and hopefully they will, especially on the Senate side, or figure out a way to use the reconciliation process.
A lot to watch on a lot of issues, especially early on in this administration. Pete, as always, thanks for your expertise.
Absolutely. Take care.
You too. Pete Sepp is president of the National Taxpayers Union. Find more about them at ntu.org. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.